The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you live out what you really feel called to in your heart? There is so much peace of mind when you can sense that your money is aligned with your values and convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there is so much potential for anxiety and worry and all that stuff when you sense that your money is not in alignment with your values and convictions.
That's right, James, but that's easier said than done. There's so much information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing and for folks, possibly even scary.
That's right. Yeah. And when you're confused, actually, or scared, or anything like that, you simply aren't making good decisions.
No.
And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be, and it can hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, welcome to episode 37 of Money and Mission.
Right.
I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. Each week in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And part of the way through the show, then we'll get to our weekly puzzler.
Yes.
Which is just a brain teaser. It's a riddle, a puzzle that we'll share with you. And we really never know if that's interesting to anybody but us, but
I just believe that there's people out there who are just tickled pink inside every time they hear our puzzle.
Every time they hear our weekly puzzle.
They're waiting for it every week to
every
tune in
week.
Just for that puzzle.
That's right.
So, James, let's jump right into our week in review. What did you think was a financial news highlight throughout this past week?
Oh, this was a lot of stuff going on this week.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things we can talk about.
DeepSeek.
Mm-hmm.
DeepSeek. If you haven't heard about DeepSeek, this is a Chinese artificial intelligence company that announced that they managed to create an artificial intelligence, algorithm or something for less than $6 million.
That's right. And a fraction of the amount of computational power required.
That's right. That's what they announced anyway.
Right.
And so suddenly the markets get thrown into this upheaval because, frankly, why in the world are we valuing some other companies at billions and billions if the Chinese just did it for less than $6 million?
Yeah. How do you compete with that?
That's right. Which is a great question, but it raises other questions like if something is so obviously or so significantly cheaper, is it even true?
Right. Like these valuations of like the American tech companies based on?
What are they based on? And, you know,
are they worth that much?
Are they worth that much? And is the technology the Chinese are using, does it even work?
Yeah.
Like if it's so absolutely cheap, maybe it'll just break all the time.
Or is it safe?
The good question, is it even safe?
Well, I've seen an article recently that there's a data exposure, that a lot of the information, or I don't know about a lot, but an amount of information off of DeepSeek was found on publicly accessible databases.
Which means?
Anybody can get online and see it. That's not necessarily the dark web.
So if you're doing something on this AI platform, whatever you're saying could just show up anywhere.
Well, at least these certain repositories that they found them at. There's been multiple articles, and that's alarming for folks.
It is alarming. Typically, we sort of appreciate and we almost expect that when we write things on various computers that it's not going to show up everywhere.
Right. We assume it's somewhere, but not just...
Maybe not everywhere.
At a www link.
That's right.
That anyone can click on it.
That's right.
And a lot of companies are starting to use AI too. So, you know, they're really worried about their privacy, consumer privacy.
Oh, AI is just a really, really big deal. I mean, there's problems, of course, with AI, right? Like
inaccuracies.
Inaccuracies.
That's my biggest problem.
Inaccuracies, yeah. Or like a company will introduce and start building artificial intelligence into their operations, and then they suddenly find that not everybody knows exactly how to use the program.
That's true.
And so what was started out as an operational efficiency suddenly becomes a train wreck because not everybody knows how to use
training and onboarding for AI tools.
That's right.
But if they make it more efficient in the long run, it should help. I know there's been a lot of scrutiny about DeepSeek because another limitation is the programming. It's only as good as the algorithm or what the programmers program into it. And they're saying that it's not giving answers that are sensitive to the Chinese political governmental sphere.
Oh, I see.
Like about President Xi or what's going on over there with human rights.
Right.
But I feel the same way. If you use Google's AI and you ask what recent executive orders Trump signed, it'll say, I can't help with political figures.
I can't help that.
So it refuses us too for our sensitive issues.
So it's probably 6 of 1. I mean, you know, whatever, this cart, this Apple cart or that Apple cart.
And everyone was worried about TikTok and now DeepSeek for our information getting into the hands of the Chinese government.
That's right. You know, at the end of the day, really, anything artificial intelligence is just a computer program.
Yes.
And a computer program is just a bunch of code that a computer programmer sits somewhere and writes this code. And
well, as of now, but the end goal and the singularity moment is when you're not programming it, it's learning itself and
for the computer
itself
to write its own code.
Absolutely.
Oh wow, that would be amazing.
And find no reason for humans.
And find no reason for humans. And you know, that's very sci-fi.
Get us
right?
out of the equation. Know, yeah,
that's right.
Science. Sounds like Terminator.
That's right. But it's changing. It's changing the world around us.
Absolutely, it's here to stay.
That's right. It really speeds things up. I heard somebody say one time that a computer, if you have a big mess on your hand and it's all in paper, it's a big mess. But if you take your big mess and you put it in a computer and speed it up, then what you have is a speeded up big mess that just goes really fast. It blows up more quickly because it just goes faster. It's still a mess. It just goes really, really fast. That's not exactly fun to think about.
No.
That's right.
But how will that affect markets? I know everyone's worried about how will this affect jobs? How will this affect different industries?
Sure. Well, let's say you have this.
Because even back when the printing press came along, we said, well, that's it for jobs. There's not going to be no more writer, this and that.
That's right.
Well, we still have jobs.
And we still have jobs. That's right. They're different than they had been. But things morph and the details change. But let's say this is really not anything new, but you have a computer algorithm that learns how to trade stocks, for example.
And they exist.
They do. There are algorithms out there today. And let's say you get into a downward trending market and the computer just thinks that it's time to sell. You could wind up having big disruptions in the market. And we've seen some of that.
And one bot reacting to the other bot. And
the one bot.
The domino effect.
That's right.
To the bottom.
The domino effect just goes and goes very quickly. And it doesn't really make any sense because all that's happening is you just have one machine responding to another machine. And we've actually seen that happen, right? So sometimes market volatility out there is actually just driven by the machinery.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's both excitement and uncertainty in the AI world, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the coming months will be crucial for DeepSeek as far as the AI industry and its ability to address the concerns of whether or not their hardware power is accurate and these claims are true. Because the next item we have here has to do with another company that is pursuing AI, but they have another problem, and that problem is energy.
Oh, this tiny little company called?
I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Microsoft?
Oh, yes. Microsoft.
That And they have a problem with energy.
Well, they need it.
They need it.
They need juice for AI data centers.
That's right. We, you know, which we really don't just think about. We talk about AI. We talk about all the things that AI can do. But it takes an amazing amount of energy to run all these computers.
It does. And the end of last summer, I know, I was aware of this when it happened. We might have talked about it. I don't know. But Microsoft struck a deal with local Three Mile Island here
to
fire up their reactors specifically to power their AI data centers exclusively.
So the Three Mile Island gets reactivated.
Because Microsoft asked nicely.
For one exclusive purpose, and that is to power all the computers.
One purpose for one company.
Right.
Yeah.
That's got to cost something.
It's got to cost a lot.
It's got to cost. So suddenly our Microsoft subscriptions are going to cost $100 a month instead of $50 a month.
That's probably, there's going to be some increase.
Probably.
Because if I remember, Joe, you might know, but I thought Three Mile Island went down because they weren't cost effective no more.
That's what I heard. Yes.
It costs more to maintain than to generate and sell the power.
Yes.
So I wonder, did they figure that out, or is Microsoft saying, hey, we'll just eat the difference because we need the juice? So I'm curious.
Yeah, me too.
But that was back in September, so we'd have to find out what's going on with that.
Well, that reactor, though, has an amazing amount of capacity, and when it starts functioning again, that's got to add to the local economy, right? Because remember, an economy is just nothing more than a series of transactions. So if Three Mile Island gets reactivated, that's a transaction. So then what happens? There's more transactions that stem out of that and so on and so forth. And I saw one estimate that reopening Three Mile Island could add, what, $15 billion or so to Pennsylvania's economy? It's a really big number.
And create over 3,000 jobs potentially.
Wow. Just because of this leading to that, leading to something else, leading to something else, so the domino effects. So no matter what it is, when one thing happens, then other things happen as a result. And this
is local, so we'll see how it affects
this
us.
This is local. That's exactly right. So,
yeah, I think we're kind of running out of time in this segment.
We are.
We had some more things we wanted to talk about, but I think those are the big ones we wanted to touch for sure.
We'll have to hit everything else maybe next week.
And I'm sure we'll have an update on a DeepSeek.
Yeah, I think so.
On these numbers.
That's right. A big shock comes in, and then it settles out, and we see where things stand.
That's right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
Yep, and right across the table is Joe. Say hi, Joe. Actually, Joe's not here today, right? Because we're recording this in the conference room here at our office.
Mm-hmm. Joe is on vacation, I believe.
He's on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're listening and the next time you run into Joe, remember to ask him, how was vacation? Mm-hmm. That's right. And Joe will probably wonder why in the world he ever connected up with us to run this radio show, right?
I think he's thinking that every week at this point.
He wonders that every week, right? Well, I'll tell you what. You know, if there is only one thing that you take away from today's show, it's that your ability to define success can either make you or break you.
That's right.
Right. Now, the definition of success really adds to that make or break, but your ability to define success can either make you or break you. This is a topic. It's just so important. It comes into so many different things that we do, sometimes that we don't even think about. But understanding and working with this idea of success, it can either lead you to a spot where you feel a well-deserved sense of achievement, or if you don't have a good handle on success and what it means and how you understand it, I mean, you can wind up feeling defeated. You can feel inadequate. Mm-hmm. You can feel like things just aren't quite settled. And none of those lead you to a very good spot. It in these feelings that you wind up having then influence the way you make decisions.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Decisions about money, particularly, of course, we think about decisions of how you handle your investments, but probably other life decisions as well. If you own a business and you don't have a good handle on this idea of success, it can change the kind of business decisions you make. It helps to determine what kind of career you will pursue, how hard you're going to work, and whether you ever feel like you can stop working. All this stems out of really your understanding and how you feel about success. So the topic that we're talking about today is success, right? And more specifically right now, defining success and knowing what it means to actually be successful.
Yeah, and there's some interesting research on the psychology of success. Studies show that people who have a clear definition of success are more likely to achieve their goals, experience greater well-being, and even have better physical health as well.
That's right. Sometimes too, there's this kind of unwritten feeling and this unwritten question of whether it's even okay to be successful. Like, you know, does God want me to be successful? Mm-hmm. And we believe the answer is yes. You know, God created people in his image and put them here on this earth for a reason, and he wants them to be successful in that. So the feelings of success that we have, again, if we feel unsuccessful, we make decisions from that perspective. And if we feel successful, then we'll make decisions from that perspective. But we hear clients talking about this in different ways, where sometimes people will ask things like, do I have enough?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's common.
That's right. How do I know if I have enough? And of course, the driving feeling there is, will I run out of money?
Right.
Right. So to
be able to sustain through those retirement years.
That's right. So determining whether or not you have enough, clearly you have to know what it means. Success in that case means knowing how much you need.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people will ask questions like, am I doing as well as I should be? It's kind of implied that other people might be doing better than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to know that I'm measuring up to how everybody else looks at my age and stage of life.
Right.
Right. And that's kind of a tricky one. We'll be talking more later in the show today about questions to ask yourself in defining success, but looking over the fence to see whether or not everybody else is at the same spot or at a better or worse spot, that puts you in a very tricky spot.
It does.
Right. And because you could find that maybe you're doing just as well as everybody else, but if everybody else is failing, that's not going to be tremendously helpful for you
right.
as well. So really having a good understanding of what it means for you to be successful is so important.
It is, and it's also worth noting that defining success is not a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dynamic process that can evolve over time as our values, priorities, and circumstances change. It's okay to revisit and define our definition of success as we grow and learn.
That's exactly right. I think back to, you know, remember some of those stories that we talked about a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Ursuline sisters.
Yes.
Tom Monahan. At one point, Tom Monahan was growing a pizza shop. But then, again, life unfolded and his definition of what he felt called to do and what he wanted to do changed.
It evolved, yep.
That evolved. Mm-hmm. And so what was successful when he started out with the pizza shop was not the same thing as being successful when he started Ave Maria University. So, yeah, so that's so important. Well, there was a book that we bumped into some time ago. The book was written by a man named Tommy Newberry. The title of the book is Success is Not an Accident. And in this book, Tommy Newberry asks us, as the reader, he asks us to try to imagine throwing darts at a dartboard in a room where all the lights are turned off.
Mm. Yep.
Like, try to imagine that. The room is completely black, so you can't even see your hand in front of your face.
Probably not easy.
And you are throwing darts, and there's a dartboard somewhere in the room. You just have no idea where it's at. And so you just throw the darts. What do you think your chances of hitting the dartboard, let alone a bullseye,
mm-hmm.
right, probably about zero, right? I mean, if you're in the dark and you eventually did hit the board, you would be lucky. No matter how you count it, you would be totally lucky,
sure.
right? Because it's completely dark. I mean, that's kind of like what...
Unless it's a closet, but...
right, where the dartboard was right in front of you. Right, boom, that's right. You could just put it there. But this is what happens when you don't know what success, how you've defined success. Right. If you don't know where you're going, then any road will get you there. But by the time, let's stick with that completely dark room. If you turned on the lights and you gathered up a large supply of darts, and maybe you got some coaching, and you have invested enough time in practicing, then you would significantly increase the likelihood of hitting the dartboard. Right.
Yeah.
Now, if you finally did hit the bullseye, many people would still call you lucky, but you wouldn't be lucky, right? You would be, because you would have been willing to do the things that it took to actually hit the bullseye, and you would be following a plan. And when you define success, that is really the first step in sort of turning on the lights so you can see the dartboard and understand where the bullseye is.
Yeah, a clear definition of success can also help us make better financial decisions. For example, if someone defines success as financial independence, they might prioritize saving and investing over immediate gratification.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Whereas if somebody defines success as being very charitable and being able to give a lot away, mm-hmm. then again, that's a completely different destination point. So again, turning on or defining success is a lot like turning on the lights so you can see the dartboard, you can see where it is that you're headed, and then again, you can identify that. You know, if it's just you individually or your family or if you own a business, defining success is just so critical.
That's a good point.
Like that, yeah. Well, my goodness, we're about out of time.
Yes, goes by quick.
That's right. We're right up to our weekly puzzler. And last week's puzzle was, I'm not a blanket, yet I cover the ground. A crystal from heaven that doesn't make a sound. What am I?
Say that one more time.
I'm not a blanket, yet I cover the ground. A crystal from heaven that doesn't make a sound.
Oh, yes, last week's.
That's right.
Do you know what that is, Joe?
No idea.
No idea.
That would be a snowflake.
Yay.
That's right. Except sometimes when you go outside and it's snowing and you hear the snow kind of sifting down, it does make a little sound.
But it can be eerily quiet.
That's right.
I felt good. I actually got that one last week.
Yeah.
What
a great puzzle.
I gave a clue to one a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like the shark one.
The shark. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so.
Well, what do we have for this week?
This week's puzzle is amazing, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, I am a spear that never rusts. I grow downward and am totally destroyed in the sun. Try to wield me and I will slip through your fingers. The longer you hold on, the more fragile I become and the more easily I will break. What am I?
What am I?
Let me say that again.
Uh-huh.
I am a spear that never rusts. I grow downward and am totally destroyed in the sun. Try to wield me and I will likely slip through your fingers. The longer you hold on, the more fragile I become and the more easily I will break. What am I?
What am I?
That was a mouthful. But
that's right. Well, if you think you know the answer, send your answer to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. And we'll read the correct answer on the podcast next week.
That's right. Maybe give away a special prize one
Maybe
day.
So. That's right.
Well, we're all out of time, folks. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM
720. Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And today we are talking about a topic that can either make you or break you. We are talking about defining and understanding success.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a question. How do you define success?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's even fascinating to consider how different cultures view success.
Mm-hmm.
In some cultures, it's about community and family, while in others, it's more individualistic and achievement-oriented.
Yeah. And that might, I mean, different cultures, that might even go into, say, different family systems.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where there's different definitions like that, or different religious traditions
mm-hmm.
can impact. And so different groups, yeah, like that can make a difference in terms of how this idea of success is viewed. In our first show here on Holy Family Radio 6 weeks ago, we talked about the stories of several different people,
mm-hmm.
right? We referenced Christopher Columbus. We referenced the Ursuline sisters, the founders of Catholic Charities,
mm-hmm.
Tom Monahan, Domino's Pizza, and what eventually then became Ave Maria University. And then a couple weeks ago, too, we were interviewing Samuel Kagundu from the Mercy School.
That's right, from Kenya.
That's right. And these are all examples of places where people have been doing things, but they all had different ideas and different visions of what this idea of success
and what that meant to them.
And what that really meant to them. That's right.
And those examples are interesting because they highlight how success can be measured in different ways, whether it's exploration, service to others, business growth. It really depends on what we value most.
That's right. Yeah. And it's an interesting self-reflective study to think and understand how it is that what we value actually develops
right.
into what we value. So the question is, as we think back on some of these examples, the examples we've shared so far, would you define those people as successful?
I would say yeah, right? They check their boxes.
They check their boxes.
They achieve what they set out to accomplish and right. what was important to them.
Right. Now, Columbus, I mean, arguably.
Oops,
yeah.
He found something.
He found something, but maybe not what he originally thought it was.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting to think on that. We didn't really practice that question before just now.
Mm-hmm.
So whether Columbus was successful or not, I mean, he found something.
Sure.
For sure.
And there's a famous quote by Maya Angelou that I think speaks to the success is who you become definition.
Mm.
Success is liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it. And that's a reminder that success isn't just about external achievements, but also about personal growth and fulfillment.
Right.
And I think that's important.
It is important. It causes us to, you know, I guess raises the question of what if I don't like what I'm doing, or what if I don't like myself? Does that mean I'm not successful? Well, we don't, we can open these cans of worms, right? That's right. but it's important, because sometimes those feelings, again, they come in and they impact how we make decisions and how we live our life. Entire coaching programs have been formed to help people define success.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are a lot of different definitions, and I guess we should just walk through what some of those definitions actually are. Aristotle, I think, said one time that success is the progressive realization of a worthwhile goal.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes success is viewed as making a certain amount of money.
Sure.
And other times it's about achieving a good work-life balance.
Yeah, and for those who believe that success is about accomplishing what God wants them to do in life,
mm-hmm.
the concept of vocation becomes central. And that's about discovering one's unique purpose and using their talents to serve others.
That's exactly right. And it is discouraging sometimes, I think, if we have a definition of success and life goes on and we're pursuing this definition and pursuing this definition, and all of a sudden we reach the point at some point in life where we decide that we had the wrong idea, because then we find that we like climbed the ladder and had the ladder propped up against the wrong wall.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's so. Success, though, you know, we would certainly say is making the most of what you have.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, making the most mm-hmm. of what you have. Success is, as you said, accomplishing what God wants you to do in this life. Some have even said success is living life your own way.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Kind of like the term financial freedom.
Financial freedom, that's right.
I heard someone say that he knows you made it when you can go to a restaurant and order anything on a menu and not worried about what it costs. Not to live too lavishly, but just not to be worried and look at the dollar amount to decide what you're going to have.
That's right. So I guess then it would depend what restaurant.
Sure.
Right.
Whether it's Chili's or somewhere.
Or a local diner or whatever. That before inflation, right?
Oof.
Oh, yeah. Let's not talk about
that. I think we already covered that well
in
the other
right.
episodes.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we advise clients regarding their investment portfolios, we've already said that we hear different definitions from people. Sometimes people will say, well, success is the ability to make money in my investment portfolio without any risk.
Mm. Okay. Yep.
Now, that's not very realistic,
mm-hmm.
right? Because no matter what you do, there's risk involved in everything.
Sure.
Some kind of risk.
Especially with investments.
That's right.
That can't be understated.
That's right. We should do a whole show just on different kinds of risk.
Oh, we could do that.
We could do that.
There's many different types of risk that we can go into.
That's right. If you'd like to hear us do a whole show on just risk, send us a note at radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. Okay. I was very off track. Very off script there. That's right. Well, sometimes, though, we hear success is beating the market.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that kind of definition is that there are many different markets.
Sure, that's true.
And you can actually define the market in different ways. And so it's difficult to know if you're actually being successful because what you're measuring against is not immediately defined.
Yeah, which market?
Which market?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. Success, sometimes we hear, is having enough money to know that I will have enough, that I won't run out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem with that kind of definition is that only God knows tomorrow. And so knowing that I'm never going to run out really assumes that I know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. And since I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, then a definition like that can easily lead me to just have this nagging sense of worry no matter how hard I've worked,
do I have enough?
I still don't have enough. That's right. So, success sometimes we hear is knowing that my investments reflect my values.
Yeah. We often, you know, on the investment side, I've noticed a growing trend toward impact investing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where investors seek to align their financial goals with their values. And this speaks to the idea that success isn't just about making money, but also about making a difference.
That's exactly right. And some of those stories that we've talked about are places where people have invested money to make a difference.
That's right.
That's exactly right. So in understanding success really comes into understanding how we manage our investments as well. And it makes an enormous difference in the kind of choices we make in that area of life. Sometimes then we find that we have desires which drive our definition of success, and our desires come into conflict with each other. For example, I want to beat the market and also know that I have investments that reflect my values.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that...
Oh, yeah.
That
gets a little tricky.
That's right. Those two things may be the polar opposite of each other, depending on what your values are and how you define the market. So we need to recognize when there are conflicting definitions and make decisions about what is more important in the way that we define success.
Yes, and it's also interesting to consider how our definition of success can change over time.
Mm-hmm.
For example, someone in their 20s might prioritize career advancement, while someone in their 60s might focus more on leaving a legacy or spending time with family. Those are important to them at that point.
That's right. And it's really also, I think, important, like just what you said there, that, you know, spending time with family, like some things we gradually recognize the importance of these things as life goes on.
And I know you mentioned businesses earlier. You know, for business owners, defining success can be even more critical. It can help them set clear goals, mm-hmm. develop effective strategies, and measure their progress. You know, a business without a clear definition of success is like a ship without a rudder.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. And it's really a business. It could be a nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
A charitable proposition like that. So understanding and defining success becomes so important. Understanding success forms a foundation from which we make decisions about investments, estate planning, charitable giving, the way we structure businesses and careers, and so much more.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, we are all out of time in this segment. We'll be back after the break to talk about some things that you can do to help identify success in your own life and in your wealth management. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we're co-hosting here today. And today, the topic we're talking about is one that can make you or break you,
mm-hmm.
and that is your ability to define and understand what it means to be successful.
Yep, that's right.
This definition of success. And, you know, we've covered some of the challenges so far that people face and some of the problems in defining success. And and some of the problems that can happen when people don't understand what it means to be successful. So we want to share with you just a few thoughts about things that you can do to help define success in your own life.
And you always say, James, success needs to be smart.
It does need to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely, or coincidentally, we should say, SMART just happens to be a little acronym, right? So if you write this down, SMART, the S we'll say is all about being specific. So to understand what success means, you need to be specific.
Not broad objectives.
That's right. Somebody said once, if there's room to fudge, then you're not being specific.
Hmm.
Or squishy, I guess.
Okay.
Right.
I haven't heard that one.
Right. It has to be specific. It needs to be measurable.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be able to measure.
So a metric of some sort.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you are making progress towards that specific idea of being successful. And then it needs to be achievable. So the likelihood of me, let's say, ever becoming the president of the United States is approximately zero. So
we'll give you a 0.0001.
Give me a 0.0001, right. But so if my idea of success is so far out there that it just doesn't seem realistic or achievable, then I can wind up just feeling totally like a failure, even though I may not be. So it needs to be achievable, it needs to be realistic, and it needs to be time-bound.
Mm-hmm.
So to say I need to be there in 6 months or 6 years or whatever, I have to set a time when whatever it is that I'm thinking about will be completed.
Mm-hmm. I think we skipped over one, the relevant part of the SMART goal. So it needs
realistic.
To be aligned with overall objectives and priorities.
Oh, relevant?
Mm-hmm.
I actually said realistic.
Oh, okay.
Which also starts with R.
I thought you bundled that with the time bound. You said realistic and time
bound.
Right.
Yeah, but, that's right.
But SMART, SMART.
That's mm-hmm. right. It needs to be smart. Yeah. So, yeah. So they both started with an R. We'll slide both of them in there.
That's smart.
Smart. That's right. That's right. So, but a few questions to ask and answer, really. First, I would say, do you pray about your goals? And mm-hmm. when you're trying to decide what it means to be successful, do you pray about what that means? Success really should not grow out of just, say, envy or looking over the fence to see what everybody else is doing to see. One of the Ten Commandments specifically says, do not covet, right? Don't look around and just want what everybody else has.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that's I like the Proverbs. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do,
mm-hmm.
and he will establish your plan. And that suggests that seeking guidance can lead to greater success and fulfillment in your life.
That's right. So the question is, do you make success a matter of prayer? Psalms 19:14 also tells us, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God.
Hmm.
So, you know, we want these
mm-hmm.
things that we're thinking about to be acceptable to God as well. And that goes at this idea of then having goals that are in sync with our values and convictions.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that at the opening of the show, and we do that every week in a kind of our opening comments and saying how important that is. So another question, do you write out your goals so that you have accountability? Something really powerful happens when you write things down.
It really does. And to further emphasize the importance of the SMART goals, there's a study by Dominican University that found people who wrote down their goals were 42% more likely to achieve them. It seems an act of putting pen to paper helps solidify our intentions and make them more actionable.
That's right. Although I will say, you know, early on, I have been in this business of being a financial advisor for over 30 years now, and I remember very early on in my career, this was in the early 90s, I would sit and write down all my goals, as many as I could think of. And this is so true. I was about 6 years into my career, and I found that I had achieved every goal that I wrote on that paper.
Mm-hmm.
The question was, now what?
You need new goals.
You need new goals. That's right. So, you know, don't be surprised about what happens if you're writing everything down and a few years later you find that you need to revisit the project. So it's a good idea to come back. And what, after you've written down your goals, then you can do exactly that, which probably goes to that whole thing that it's more likely to achieve your goals when you write them down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a similar experience as well. It's powerful.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, the question of have you taken measurable action towards what you consider to be success? Are you actually doing what you say you think would be successful, yes or no, right? The principle of knowing something and then believing it, but then doing something about it, if you never take action, then all the things that you've just said will never happen.
They're just thoughts and ideas.
That's right. It's impossible for that to ever happen. So, but some other questions to consider, really, one, is it possible, do you think, to be a success without achieving anything?
No, I don't. I think you would have to achieve what's important to you and what you set forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
In order for you to define that as a success for you.
Yeah, something is typically achieved.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next question, I suppose, is can you be a high achiever without being successful?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a good one. I mean, you can achieve many things in this life, but if they're not important to you, you might not feel like a success.
That's right. Or like, remember Jonah, the story of Jonah, right? I mean, Jonah successfully got on a boat and sailed the wrong direction. He was totally not successful.
It was successful until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't. That's exactly right. So, you know, if what you're achieving as a high achiever is not where God wants you to be, or it's, you know, it's not where your conviction is, not where your heart's at, then again, it's like having that ladder propped against the wrong wall.
And I guess that's where the adage fits in, money can't buy happiness.
That's right.
High achievers.
That's right.
Still not good.
Yeah. And we see this in the world of investments too, where people say they have successful investments, the investments are making money, but you know what? They don't reflect our values.
Right.
And so, which kind of leads to another question. Is it possible to be have a wildly successful investment portfolio without being successful? And probably the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
To that. Can you be happy without also being a success?
Happy without being a success? No, I don't believe you can.
No.
I think making progress towards your goals is what brings you happiness.
Mm-hmm. And especially if you understand that success, then as you live into that success and it becomes a reality, you find a level of fulfillment and satisfaction that comes from knowing that you are where you should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, success is not the key to happiness.
Mm.
Happiness is the key to success. If you love what you're doing, you will be successful. That's a quote that I like by Albert Schweitzer.
Albert Schweitzer, yeah.
And it reminds me that happiness and success are intertwined, and pursuing those passions can lead to both.
Yeah. So a couple of other really just soul-searching questions. Is happiness contingent on the size of your investment portfolio? Is the size of your investment portfolio what makes you successful? Does success hang on your investment performance? Yes or no? I mean, that would be a tough one because investments are never going to do well all the time.
Not right? All the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, before time runs down, I'm sitting and looking at the clock, right? there are a few really specific things we want to note here. A couple of books. We referenced the book, Success is Not an Accident. That's a book that's written by Tommy Newberry. And I think the publisher is Tyndale Publishers. And, you know, we don't get paid anything to reference this book. This is just an awesome book. It's made a big difference in my own life, and I'd really recommend it to you as well.
We just like sharing good resources with folks.
That's right. Success is Not an Accident by Tommy Newberry. A couple of weeks ago, we referenced a book titled Navigating Your Finances God's Way. And I'd really recommend, again, that you if you go look that book up, and you can search for compassministries.org. I believe that's the web address. But Navigating Your Finances God's Way is a great book and a great study in exactly some of what we're talking about here. A couple of other just items to check off as we go. Making sure that when you think about your definition of success, that it is anchored in biblical truth. And we'll talk more about that in some other episodes coming up. But for now, I do think we're almost out of time, aren't we?
Yeah, unfortunately for today's show, we are out of time. You can join us next week, same time, same bat channel. Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember to send your answers to this week's puzzle to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com.
Have a blessed week, and we'll look forward to being here again next week.